This is Managing Mayhem,
presented by two lawyers and a layman.
Because good intentions are not a legal defense.
Welcome to Managing Mayhem and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Jack, you're at a different party than me.
Jack looks like he's Christmas Morpheus right now.
Jingle, welcome to the Matrix.
What are you wearing, Jack?
I feel like sometimes holiday parties can be so many things. And I'm dressed for sort of a cocktail party into maybe some dancing.
Nice. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Into like a little bit of a rave situation.
Jeff looks like he's going on a Christmas run.
I just have my Oh Snap gingerbread shirt on. It's a good shirt. I wear it year round.
It's in the rotation.
So what are we doing today?
All right. So here's the deal. It is party time.
Holiday party time.
And 3 out of 4 employers are having holiday parties.
Yeah.
Mom's just having a White Claw.
It's a Pellegrino.
Right.
With White Claw in it.
But we did a survey as well for our clients, and 62% are going to have holiday parties.
Yes.
You know, you guys didn't know this about us, but we're actually party planners.
Yeah, who says lawyers aren't fun?
Yeah, it's our primary source of income is the planning, the party planning.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so people are having them, right? People are having the parties this year.
75% of employers are having parties. So
good.
Or activities.
Okay. Mostly an activity.
Well, and the reason why a lot of people do it are to celebrate the end of the year, to celebrate employee accomplishments for the company, and just to have some good old-fashioned fun, am I right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're coming off of almost 3 years of pandemic, somewhat post-pandemic, people not having parties. People want to do things to have fun and to be together. Yeah.
Yes.
So let the people play.
Why do people want to do it? Why do they not do it? And how do we get everyone to do it?
Well, and I will say this just before we start talking about getting into the weeds on the party, I do get some people don't do it. Some companies don't have holiday parties, and I do get that because it can be expensive.
Right.
And someone has to coordinate it.
Right. Yep.
If you're in that group, you're not alone. You know, you're the one employer out of four, and we get it.
There are valid
reasons.
I will say this, though. Keep an open mind, companies out there, that it doesn't have to be a traditional rubber chicken sit-down dinner to have some type of festivity over the holiday season.
What's a rubber chicken sit-down dinner?
Please.
Okay, you eat like a typical chicken dinner like at like a wedding, and it's like rubbery, and it's like a dry piece of chicken. Haven't you ever heard of that?
This is new to me.
That is insane.
Maybe it's dry chicken dinner.
The chicken's rubbery.
Right.
Well,
it doesn't have to be a boring formal dinner that's super expensive, like giving a wedding reception. We're talking you can do all kinds of things to celebrate the season. So, okay.
So let's talk about some considerations. What do we got?
I think that you can't. It's a holiday party, first of all. It can't be a Christmas party. It's got
to
be a holiday.
I mean, we have to embrace diversity, and that we have to be sensitive to embrace, celebrate diversity, and not try to link it to a religious holiday.
Period.
Some people don't celebrate Christmas, so it's better to stick with a holiday party.
A winter celebration.
To be inclusive and make it optional, so if people don't want to participate, they don't have to.
I mean, the goal here is not to be divisive at this time of year. It's to be inclusive, to celebrate accomplishments through the year, the successes of the company. Majority of companies have done very well during the year. And so, you know, we know that we're going to get smacked in the face with the recession, inflation. No, I'm kidding. So, but enjoy it now. Let's enjoy it now. Okay. So as the party planners, what's the first thing that we want to look at for your activity or party?
What do you think, Morpheus?
I think that you could probably do so many different things. There's parties that you could do like a cocktail hour.
So wait. So you're talking...
You're talking about the vibe.
The vibe.
I am talking the vibe. And I will.
Okay.
I, I you have to live the vibe, and I will only be discussing the vibe. You could do a cocktail party. You could do family party. Okay. I remember we used to go to those things at one of Dad's companies where it was like the trolley, and you'd get on the trolley, and you'd have hot chocolate, and you'd go see the lights.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was great.
Is Santa there?
Yeah.
Is Santa bringing... Mm-hmm. Is he bringing a flask? Because then we don't have him.
Right.
Then he doesn't come.
You want to look at your demographics.
Right.
Right.
There are companies that do the sleek party scene disco. I sound so uncool even saying it. Versus a family get together.
Right.
Hot chocolate.
I mean, it's really, those are the two decisions. Is it going to be a family event with kids or just the office with significant others?
Or if it's just employees, you know, at work over lunch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
that
you're just doing... I know. We're testing the vibe. I'm not saying it's a good vibe.
I'm not in on that vibe.
All right. And ultimately, what you...
Go ahead.
Morpheus?
I swear to God.
What you're looking for is what's actually going to bring the office together. So when Patty's talking about, you know, test the waters, maybe send out a survey if you want to see what people actually want to do and would engage in. And it also doesn't have to be a party. It can be an activity or an event, or we're going to go volunteer somewhere, or like Jack said, the trolley tour.
Right.
Whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be, oh, we're having this rubber chicken party, right?
Yeah. That no one's ever heard of, but everyone's invited to.
No one's ever heard of, but now we're all here.
And here's a big cup of gravy. I think that it sounds like you have to look at the office culture a little bit. Like, what does everyone want to do? And what will, I think, Jeff, bingo, bring everyone together?
Right. I had one company do a survey and they were a little bit surprised, and they did it about now. They said, do you want to have a formal holiday dinner? Mm-hmm. Do you want to have two activities, like one in the office with family and one for, that's obviously all optional, but out.
A day look and a night look.
So I think, you know, taking the pulse, a quick survey, monkey survey, you know, just to see what people want, you know as well. Not just what you want as the owner. So.
Right.
The other thing to consider is actually what time is it? What time you're going to do it? And as Patty said, are you going to do it on company time where you're going to pay them to be at the party, right? Like during work hours, the last hour of the day? Is it going to be during lunchtime where everyone's clocked out?
I think that's what you do. That's what you do like on like Flag Day, Arbor Day, a day that's not that big of a deal. You do it during lunch or during whatever work hours, but I feel like a holiday party should be properly off work.
Yeah, I've never been to a holiday party during work. I've never been. Now, I've been where you've
all
had a
of mine have been over the lunch hour. I mean, maybe it's because I worked in the public sector and like we're, you know, taxpayer dollars and we're just the...
I've had a few where we've had potlucks at lunch, but then we had the after hours event as well.
I could get into that.
Okay, so what are some of the biggest considerations as party planners that you should look at when planning that office get together?
I think that you're probably looking at, it depends what you decide, obviously.
Right.
But there's probably going to be, most of them will probably have some form of alcohol there, some in some refreshments, some hot toddies. And I think that's good, but it's going to be something that people have to think about to make sure that everyone's on their best behavior. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, I want to say that we do plenty of podcasts about the dangers and liabilities of alcohol. But I just want to say that alcohol does not mean that everyone is acting unprofessional.
Right.
And the only reason we always have disclaimers is because you have to...
There's that one person. Yeah. Ruin the fun for everybody.
Yeah.
Lowest common denominator. It's like why all the bathrooms in New York have passwords.
Exactly. I don't even want to know about why.
Yeah.
But, but with alcohol, obviously the caveat is that you're going to have to tell people they have to drink responsibly. You know, you're going to have to make sure that they're drinking safely, driving responsibly and safely. But that doesn't mean you can't have alcohol at your holiday party.
Right.
Right. It's like you could do a start of like two drink tickets and then the rest people have to pay for. You know, like just some stuff to kind of make it like, we're promoting a little bit of fun, but also you got to take care of yourself.
Right. The other thing you can do is just stop serving alcohol about an hour before the party ends.
Yeah, be and like so a football game.
There's kind of a window, right? There's a last call.
Right.
Go cash in your tickets and all the tickets you got from the accounting department and you got to wait an hour. Yeah.
A party planner pro tip is that if you can pick foods that are really starchy or fatty, fatty, I guess, actually makes it take longer for alcohol to
break down.
How do you know this? Someone at a restaurant told me this one time. Okay. And so I think if you can course out some heavier meals with the alcohol, you can keep the alchemy. You know,
well, and people won't be messed up. To that end,
that's how I do it every day.
Nice balance all day long.
All day.
I mean, but ultimately the big thing is transportation. You don't want people driving.
Yeah.
And then you don't want people acting poorly or out of control. You don't want drunk Santa at the party. So you do have to moderate, but you can have it for sure.
You know, okay. I think on the alcohol issue, it is going to be important where you're having it. So if it's at a bar or a hotel venue, your office, obviously if it's at your office, you can control what alcohol is brought in. A bar, you're going to have a little less control, a restaurant with a bar attached. So, you know, again, these are just communications you're going to have with either the restaurant, the site that you have it with, or with mainly with your employees about acting responsibly.
But also, if you do it off-site, don't you have less liability for what goes on versus if you do it on-site? Or is that not true?
They're all volunteer activities. But to me, when you serve alcohol, there's always some risk. There is some risk. But you're right. If you're the one at your place serving it and serving it, I think you're going to have higher risk.
Okay. Note that. Do not host your own party.
Right.
I think the next thing is, what are you going to do there? What activity are you going to do there? Is it just going to be food, some beverages, and that's it?
And some painful small talk?
Yeah. I'd want to layer in activities. That would be my party planning tip.
Like, it's in high school when you do like best, funniest person or most of this. You could do like some sort of, what are those called? Those are called
awards.
Yeah, awards.
No, those specifically are called something.
Most likely to succeed.
Yeah. What are those called?
Awards.
I have no idea.
That's
going
to come to me. It's not
awards. It's year end awards. But those are great. Those are a great way to recognize employees. And you can do it in a fun way where it's not necessarily who sold the most cars this quarter, but who's got the...
Who wore the best glasses.
Right.
If it is pretty casual, you might want to think about, are we going to do like ugly sweater competition? Are we going to do...
Karaoke?
I will say karaoke is a drinking activity.
Okay,
large dose of tequila has to be present.
Jeff did have a really scary karaoke childhood where he was forced into a lot of at-home karaoke that he did not want.
During puberty. Scarring.
It was always after someone's birthday party where we rented a karaoke machine and we kept it for the extra day that Jeff was like, this is hell.
This is my nightmare.
Everybody sing your song.
No, I think that I've been to some great holiday parties that have dance games. They've had karaoke. Mm-hmm. They've had non-alcoholic and alcohol beverages, and everyone acted responsibly. I do think if you ask people to dress nicely, sometimes that helps.
They'll act nicely.
They'll act a little more professionally. I don't know. I think some people go a safer route and say, we're going to do an escape room night, or we're going to actually...
Escape room for the holidays? Just get me out of my life.
Next thing they know, they're in like an episode of Saw.
Like, some people go safe route.
Merry Christmas.
I'd like to play a game.
We're going to put you in a padded room for 3 hours so nothing happens.
Exactly.
I'm all about the competitions. I mean, gingerbread house building competitions. We did that our entire life, and it was awesome. Right. People get into it.
I'm going to confess this to you guys right now.
I know
I
know.
I don't actually like to build. And I don't
but you like to party
like
at
to
the
carve
ginger...
pump.
I
like
the
to socialize.
Jack, I will
around.
Say this. This was the problem with Jack. Jack had a small army of friends who were building his gingerbread house, and he didn't do anything. He was like the...
You pop around. You just kind of like supervise.
Just kind of peek in.
Yeah.
But it's a great gingerbread house competition. Obviously,
it doesn't work.
Okay, so a few other things to consider with activities.
The big one is
escape
gifts.
Rooms.
Back to escape rooms.
So other activities would involve gift giving.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Right.
Okay, so I have to say, my husband, you know how they have these like Secret Santas and all that.
Yeah.
And your husband's great, by the way. He's a really cool guy.
He is.
He's
all right. But he was invited, big company, to a gag gift Secret Santa party. And so he interpreted it as a gay gift, right?
Like whoopee cushions or
So he brought like, you know, he brought like old CDs, a six pack of beer, a worn out baseball hat.
A left shoe, right.
Yeah, something. And she's like, everyone had these nice gifts, like candlesticks. And he's like, she goes,
your sense of humor sucks.
They said, no. You know what they said? GAG stood for give a gift.
No. No.
Oh, I hate when
that is messed up. That is messed up.
He's like, you're going to use GAG?
That is manipulative.
So, I think the important thing on all of these activities, make them voluntary. You know, you know, people don't have to do it. There's no obligation. Set a dollar
amount. Sign up sheet.
You know, we don't want someone bringing a PlayStation just to, you know, butter up to whoever and, you know, someone else bringing a used CD. So, you know, just set rules.
The setting the limit is good because you just don't want anyone to feel financial pressure to like deliver in some way and then feel judged if they don't or can't. Like that's actually just kind of puts people in an uncomfortable holiday situation. Yeah. Already too, the holidays are a little bit stressful with that. So like if you can make it chill, like the love of God.
Yeah, you know, and also party planning extra tips is don't ever hang mistletoe.
No mouse kissing or kissing.
I like this one. Review the music playlist before playing it.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, when they do the mother effer kind of songs with the kids all there, you know.
Sure. Okay, what else?
Refrain from having company-sponsored pre-parties and post-parties.
Yeah.
So, after parties, we're all going to pre-game before we go.
No. What I really like, I mean, obviously we have to send out expectations of what the party is, right?
Yeah.
And not everyone's going to like it. And not everyone has to participate, but make it clear. But I want to go over some tips that the Society of Human Resource Management, who's pretty conservative, came out to tips for the employees. And it kind of surprised me what they came up with. The first one, I don't want you sending out this email. I please don't. They said to tell employees this, do not dance provocatively. What? Okay.
Not a party.
Don't drink too much. That's an easy one. Don't kiss anyone on the lips.
That's their rule. They wanted a memo.
That's a good rule.
Kind of goes without saying. Like this one. Don't hug people you normally don't hug.
If you're not on a hugging basis before the party, you're not on a hugging basis at the end of it.
But maybe you shouldn't be hugging people anyway at work all the time.
Any contact.
What else?
Interrupt others who are talking to the boss or CEO so they can introduce themselves. I just viewed it like an episode in The Bachelor where they just like the person cuts in.
Can I steal her for a sec?
I would like to. Yeah, can I talk to her?
Like, we just sat down. Okay, well, just be a sec. You're like,
it's really important. We've never met, but it's really important.
You watch Bachelor?
Yes, it's the best.
Yeah, and if you're really hardcore,
you watch Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh my God, it's gosh. Good. Sherm also said, do not aggressively pursue people in power for a conversation. Same thing. Don't brown nose, you know.
Don't ask a coworker on a date. I like that one.
Oh, yeah. Don't ask coworker on a date. Yeah, good tip. Okay.
They've seen some messy parties.
I can't believe the next one that they actually have to put in writing. Don't tell someone that you work with how hot they look.
The wording of these is insane.
Yeah.
Don't hug someone you don't normally hug. Okay.
Now, I will say they had one good one. Obviously, don't drink and drive.
Yeah,
But I do like this quote. And I don't know who made it because it said Lewis. And I don't know who Lewis is.
It's one name.
Try as best you can to head off bad behavior because at the end of the day, those few hours of fun can be career ending. It is hard
is
to take it back. It's hard
that
to take
true.
It back.
Thank you, Lewis.
But last but not least, obviously transportation. We already mentioned it a little bit.
Yep.
But this is your most important thing beside, you know, if you're going to have alcohol, you know, you're going to have transportation. You're going to figure out how are people getting home? Or are they walking? Are you paying for Ubers and taxis? You don't want people drinking and driving. And that's really important. So,
do you ever have someone be responsible for that?
Yeah, like high school dances where you have chaperones. You can have a couple people monitoring behavior.
They bring in the local history teacher.
I think you do have to have one or two people, not to ruin their fun, but just to say keep an eye on things so we could stop it. So
I would just be clear to everyone who's going to attend your expectations, what you're going to do, but in a fun way, what you're going to do, who can come, where it's going to be, what your expectations of conduct are,
right.
Dress code, and then, have.
And then let loose. Have,
You know, you guys, I think that there's so much at work that is serious. Yeah. It is important to have fun. And whether that's going and looking at Christmas lights or an escape room, but dancing, anything. But you know what? Don't let the few people that are going to get in trouble ruin it for everyone else. Because I think it's really important. And people stay at companies where they feel a part of and they get to know people.
And you can goof off and actually see that side of each other, have some fun, and just do it.
Exactly. So happy holidays, whatever floats your boat. We wish you the best in the season, and call us if you have questions.
Have a mayhem free holiday party.
All right, see you later.
Hi bye bye.
Managing Mayhem is presented by Management Northwest and Management Southwest and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without prior written consent. By listening to this podcast, you understand that we, or at least two of us, are lawyers, but we are not your lawyers. Therefore, nothing we say on the podcast should be taken as legal advice or considered to create an attorney-client relationship. It is solely meant for your educational and informational purposes. The podcast should not be used as a substitute for legal advice from an attorney licensed in your state. Please be aware that listening to lawyers can cause side effects such as migraines, self-doubt, and also manicure insomnia. But you know what? Trust your own judgment, or you're not your mom.